This morning, I'm going to talk to you about something I feel like it is, for me, the most important part of understanding where God has me at in my life right now. In my levels of freedom, in my levels of what God has called me to do, in my levels of relationships. I believe this word right here is what God is causing to be created inside of us in this season. I have had God bring me back to this word continuously more times this year. And every time, I'm telling you, when God speaks it to me, I know it is what God is doing in me. I know that it is a bigger word and a bigger work than that word even begins to entail. I want you to think back to Noah. Noah, in the very beginning, he was doing something great for God. I mean, God had spoken to him, had told him something really great to do. But I'm going to tell you the truth. I think that Noah's passion in it was Noah's family. I'm going to tell you, God will call you to do things, but the people that are connected to you, that's where your passion is. That's where your heart is. The people that you love, the people that you, when they hurt, you hurt, that's where your heart is. So I know that Noah was being obedient to God, but I know that Noah knew he was doing something that was going to preserve his children. That was going to preserve his grandchildren. That Noah was building something that was very important to his life. And Noah got into that place where God was changing things. And God was doing things. And what started, I believe, to work against Noah, which is the same thing that works against me, is time. It got long. Time wears. And let me tell you, the enemy will use time on you. He will come into your life and he will begin to speak words of fear and discouragement and worry and doubt and unbelief. And he will use time as the target to use that for. He will paint the picture of time in your life and he will try to convince you that because it has taken this long, God must not be faithful. Which a lot of us, God, he has a hard time getting me convinced of that. But what he does come into me, and he tries to convince me that I have not been faithful. That I have messed it up. That I have not treasured that word. That I have not done my part. I'm going to tell you, as much as the enemy uses time to bring fear, God wants to use, I believe, every season and in every place of freedom and in every place of victory. God wants to use patience as a weapon of God's army. God wants you to come into agreement with patience to where patience is a battle weapon that you use against the lies of the enemy, against the timing he's put before you. I'm going to tell you, patience is something that we can put inside of us and that we can use against the enemy. We can tell the enemy God is faithful and his timing is perfect. God is faithful and his word is true. You can use patience as an activation of what God is wanting to do through you, and you can use the weapon that God gave you to see it through. The Bible says in James 1:4 that let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. I want to say that again, lacking nothing. I'm going to tell you, if timing was up to me, and if I did it when I wanted to do it, and the truth is, if I was in charge of that ark, we would have gotten into a really holy boat. There would have been a lot of leaks going on. We better had a lot of that pitch. We would have had to really do a lot of fixing all the way to the end. Because I'm going to tell you that God is working patience in a season in my life to understand he's doing something bigger in a perfect way for each one of our lives. And every time that you get up and you are faithful, you just do what God told you to do today in that quiet time in the morning. And that time in your car where he speaks to you, you put one piece of wood on that ark God has given you to preserve and to do and to be called to do. You do your part, and I can promise you that patience will make it be a perfect work in your life. I think that really that Noah came to a place in his life where he would not let the timing that the enemy was tormenting him with work against him. I think he started to work with it. I think Noah got to a place of this warfare patience where he would say, God, I don't even have to worry about the timing. I can just trust you today. I can do my part, and I can know that you're building something even bigger than I would do if timing was up to me. I think that honestly that Noah came into a season of just absolute assurance. He was where God told him to be. He was doing what God told him to do. And he would not let the enemy bring fear or doubt or confusion or lies and wouldn't get him to stop seeing that ark completed by his hands. Noah took warfare patience into his life and he used it against the enemy. And I believe this year that as we begin to walk into and stand where God has told us to stand, that we will be able to use the patience that God has given us against what the enemy is trying to do in us and through us and for us. And it's become a God-like work in our life. Only something that can miraculously be done in our life. I'm going to tell you the truth. I have found patience to be the hardest part in a lot of my battles. Is anybody else there? Has anybody else find that the patiently waiting, the stand and not knowing when or what or how, sometimes that's the hardest part of the battle. But I want to switch your mind this morning. I want to turn that back around. I want you to begin to understand that patience is a mighty weapon that God uses. That patience gets us into a place of perfect thinking, of perfect action, and in perfect spirit, that we are in alignment with God. Amen. You can refuse to let the enemy torment you with fear and doubt about what you're not doing when you are doing just in the time what God has told you to do. Amen. You can have a confidence in that in your life. Patience comes from a word. It's called, and I'm probably going to say this wrong, so mom's probably going to laugh. It's called hupomene. Is that right? It's the first time she's been here. Hupomene. It's two words. And these two words put together give us the picture of warfare patience God is calling us to walk in. The first word is meno, which means to stay, to remain, to continue, to permanently abide in one place. It's the same word that Jesus used when he said, if you abide in me. So if you get into that place, if you get that word that God has told you, if you start to believe what God has said he would do in your life, through your family, for your heart, if you will get into alignment and you will fasten yourself to what God has said he would do, then you pull this word, hupo, connected with that. And it changes this word because here's what happens. Hupo means to be under something that is very heavy. So when you put hupo with meno, it means a person who is under a very heavy load, but who has resolved in their heart, I'm not moving. That they're going to stay in that one spot, regardless of how heavy that load gets, regardless of how long it takes for God to work behind the scenes and work it out, they refuse to let go of their victory. A person that is in this type of warfare patience is intent on standing by the commitment God brought them to. They are going to, no matter what it costs them in the waiting. Nothing can sway them. Nothing can move them. Nothing can change their mind. Nothing is going to get them out of where God has told them to stand until God shows up and says, let's move. This is a spiritual concept. This is not the world's patience. This is not something you can do on your own. But this is something that as you come into alignment with a supernatural thing that God is wanting to do in your life, to do for you, that you can attach to a supernatural warfare patience in your life, and you can see God do bigger things than you can even see He's wanting to do for you. Another word that this patience is translated as, it's called endurance. I'm going to tell you, we are people that are called to endure. We are called, you were made spiritually to be able to carry a load. Do you know that? You were made to be able to stand and to be able to withstand what the enemy has tried to bring into your life or tried to make it through your life for your family. You were made for that. Patience in God's eyes is powerful and necessary for God to work through you. You will only go so far in what God is wanting to heal you with. You will only go so far with what God is wanting to do in you without patience. I know a lot of godly people, but I'm going to tell you, in certain people's lives, they have not allowed patience to be perfected in them, and it has halted what God can do in their life. It has halted what God wants to do for their family. It has halted where they can truthfully let their faith go and believe that far into God. See, because timing comes in and thinks God would not make it wait. Moses waited. Could have been 120. I mean, Noah waited. Could have been 120 years. Do you know that? Everybody goes, I have been there this year. I will just tell you. When you get into warfare patience, when you get into this place of the supernatural, time falls by the wayside and you understand that God is causing this to be something He will do. He will do it. It is an assurance that God will do it, but it's also an assurance God will not cause it to be done half-hearted, halfway. God will do it in your life perfectly, in His timing, in His channels. And when He does it, it's going to be something that affects way more than you. It's going to have an impact that goes greater than your own timing could have the impact to go through. You know, we see this in David's life. Remember, David was called as a young boy to be king. And one of the first tests David ever had to walk through was the test of patience. He had to know, God had to know, hey, David, will you wait on me? Will you trust me? Will you stand where I stand, tell you to stand? Will you believe what I tell you to believe? Will you not let the enemy cause a lion to run you off, cause a bear to run you off, then eventually a giant to run you off? Will you get where I tell you to stand and have endurance to stand and watch my miracle come through you? If you are ever going to do big things for God, ever, I'm going to tell you the truth, God has to trust you to be patient. He's got to trust you that you will allow His timing to have your to be your timing. And the truth is, He'll usually never lets us know when that is. That's why God does not let us be in control. God is really good at being in control and not allowing us to be in control. That's why as you walk through freedom, every part of your flesh becomes in alignment with God, because you end up saying, God, you're in control. You're in control. You're in control. This is your battle. This is your life. This is you. And you give it to God. So many people, they can't wait. So many good, godly people, they just can't wait. They can't get into a place and find a strength and patience to understand God is doing more than what they can see. You see, Saul was in this place. How many of you, Saul went to battle? Saul just became king. And then he had a giant army come up against him. How many of you have God done something really good for you and then you find out it was a setup? There's a battle right around the corner. I'm going to tell you, that's God's love. God is training us and strengthening us and growing us. God is doing things for you. Don't let the enemy ever lie to you about that. God is doing things for you. So you see Saul, and he has this giant army come against him. And at Saul's position, this is what Saul was told. You stand there and you wait on Samuel. You wait on the anointed one to come. So Saul could stand and he could wait when he had about 30,000 men with him. But when the army got a little bit closer, a lot of those men left. And the Bible even says every one of the men that were standing with Saul were trembling. How many of you have been in a battle where everybody around you, including you, is trembling? I've been there. Where you just got to know God put you here because what is coming against you is bigger than what you can handle. The army came closer. And everybody that was with Saul fled. And it ended up being a moment in Saul's life that if Saul would have known that God was wanting to develop a warfare-like patience in his life to wait on when God said move, because if you wait on when God says move, God moves with you. He moves into it for you. He does it. You don't have to. But Saul could not stand alone. Saul could stand with people. Saul could stand with an army, but God knew that Saul needed to learn to stand with God wherever God put him. No, Saul knew, God knew that. He knew that inside of Saul there were insecurities and there were fears, and God was putting Saul into a test to say, hey, you wait on me, I will show up, and we will take care of this through the miracle that I've brought you into this kingdom to do. But Saul could not be patient. He could not endure that trial. He could not endure that moment with that load on his back, with his eyes at an army. Fear came in, tormented him, robbed him of his peace, robbed him of his joy, robbed him of even believing. Is that what he really said? Is that what he said? Robbed him of what God told him that God would do. And because of that, Saul moved before God. Anytime you step out and you move before God, even if it is what God has said to do, it's not God. You can disobey God by getting out of the timing of God just as quickly as you can disobey God by running the opposite direction of what God has told you to do. God's timing is God's will. God's timing is God's will. So whatever God is wanting to do in your heart and in your life, and if it seems to be a lot of endurance right now, if it seems to be a heavy load, what I'm going to tell you is God is probably wanting to do this year something bigger than what you believe He's wanting to do for you. You probably just don't know the whole picture. That is the agreement that we can come to in this place. I believe God is calling us as a church, as an individual, as a child of God, in a nation. We're coming to an agreement that we're going to let the patience of God be perfect as in us so that we walk out perfect into this world and do what God called us to do. Jesus had this walk. I'm going to tell you, Jesus walked the same walk that God is asking us to walk. The Bible says that looking unto Jesus. So he's not saying, hey, this is what I want you to do. I know I haven't done this yet, but this is for you. Here's what he's saying. Look at Jesus. Jesus did this. If he did it, you can do it. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So here's what that's telling you. Jesus is the word. What was spoken to you, Jesus already went to the very end of your battle, of your promise, and he finished it. He's already finished it. It's already been done. But who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross? Now, everybody tell me that word endured means patience. He was patient with the process of the cross. That cross season for Jesus was a season in his life where God was giving him the opportunity to walk it out patiently and perfectly. To not get out of the timing of God one little bit, even when Jesus' will wanted to. How many of you remember in that garden, it came to a place where the suffering and the load, and it was such a hard moment that Jesus' will wanted to go another way. But Jesus surrendered what was his to the patient timing of God and the way of God and the will of God, because Jesus knew God had a bigger plan than he could see in that garden under that load in that moment. This season we are all walking through. It is a season in a lot of our lives, man, there's some suffering. There's some places where there's a supernatural endurance being created. There's a supernatural perfecting in us. There's something that even God is doing outside of us that we have got to remain in the patient timing and place that God has put us. And one of the number one ways I know you do that is we look at Jesus and we do what he did. We surrender our will. We say, God, I can't imagine how you could do this going this way, but I know you're going this way, and I know I'm hearing you, so I submit to your will. I submit to your will. Man, this path, God, this path of my life, man, it's been hurtful. It's been painful. There's been things that truthfully that I don't understand, but God, I submit to your will. I submit to your will. I think all the time about Jesus. For 30 years, you know, he didn't move into his ministry until he was 30. I would have thought that is 30 years that I could have laid my hands on people and delivered them. That is 30 years that I could have had how many more people walk around with the power that Jesus let come out of him, that he could have healed, that he could have delivered, that he could have set free. He could have spoken words and he could have changed Jerusalem. There's all these things that if it was in my carnal mind, I would have saw a better path than that. But let me tell you, Jesus never got out of the will of God. He never got out of the timing of God. He never allowed himself to think that he knew more than what God was doing in that moment. He understood there was a destiny, there was a purpose, there was a reason for his feet to be planted where it was planted. And he came into agreement with that and said, "Not my will, but yours be done." The enemy couldn't use timing on Jesus. Jesus just went with God's timing. Jesus just flowed with the timing of God. He went where God told him to go. He did what God told him to do. He said what God told him to say. And because of that, Jesus' life is still impacting every person's life on this earth. It is such a supernatural work when you get into the alignment with what God's doing in your life and the timing, it becomes a supernatural work. It goes beyond naturally what you can do. Jesus had to surrender his will. Because here's what his will knew was coming. He knew that endurance, that walk, that patient struggle, that what he was about to walk through was going to be a painful process. I'm going to tell you, as you walk through life, and you allow God to greatly use you, and you allow God to come in you, there are moments that it will be a painful process. But God is still God in those moments. God is still working in those moments. Every nail that went in his hand, God was still working with what was going on in his body. God was using that to create something that we can walk out in now. Secondly, it was humiliating. That patience walk that Jesus had to walk through today, I mean, that was a humiliating walk. I'm going to tell you that there are seasons in your life when you are obedient to God and you stand where he tells you to stand and you're only letting him dictate your life, that it will be a humiliating process at times. I'm just going to be honest with you. The world does not see what we see. And the enemy convinces the world to not see what they need to see. And I'm going to tell you that what God is saying to you, you might be the only person that knows it. You might be the only person like Noah that God is saying it to. But that does not in any way cause what God is saying to be less effective in this world, in your family, or in your life. Jesus was the only one that knew what he was there for. He was the only one that knew what was going to come out of that. I don't even know if he understood the process completely, but he knew, I'm doing today what God told me to do today. And there is a faithfulness and a completion that comes out of obedience to God and not moving out of his timing. Number three, it looked like he would not come out on top. That patient process Jesus walked, it looked a lot of the time like the enemy was winning. I'm going to tell you, in battles that I've walked through, all the way through it for a long season, even one me and my husband are in right now, it looks a lot like the enemy is winning in the natural. You've got to know that. You've got to know that the way the battle looks is not the way the battle is. That's where the Spirit comes in and begins to ground you and to root you, where God says, they just don't know what I'm doing. There's those scriptures that say God sits up in heaven and laughs. You need to come into moments at that where you understand people all around you probably will have no clue what God is doing. But that's okay. Because no matter how much it looks like you are not coming out on top, you are coming out on top. You are coming out on top. Jesus paid the price so that you would conquer evil with good. He paid that price. That's a confirmation. That's a promise if we stay in the timing and the place that God has brought us to be. Because the reason that Jesus was allowing that patient walk to go on was because there was a joy that was set before him. There was something set before him that as he walked towards it, he kept his eyes focused on it. Now, I want you to notice that word set before, because a lot of times when something is set before us, we don't exactly know what is set before us. We can't see what is set before us. But when God speaks to you what is set before you, you have to put on the spiritual eyes and start walking and doing with what you see spiritually here and not what you see here. You can know what the end is before your eyes ever begin to see a picture or a glimpse of it. You can know what God is doing even if you don't know the package it might be coming in. The part of the joy that's set before us means it's right around the corner. It's right around the corner. We can't see it, but we can know that it's there. And as we get in alignment with this warfare patience in our spirits, we can have an assurance that if we keep our eyes on that, God will do that. But see, the enemy plays off this because it is not easy to stay in joy in your battle. I'm just going to tell you, it's not. I've spent a lot of days not in joy in my battle. I've had a lot of people text me words that they have no idea what they were texting me, which was bringing me back to the joy in my battle. There is a joy that you keep your eyes focused on. It's what God has told you. But you need to know that the enemy is going to come and try in every way possible to rob that eyesight with fear, with doubt, through lies, through a million different reasons to get you out of this patient stand you are standing in, to get you to worry, to get you to doubt, to get you to slink back, to get you to move over out of the... It's easier not to trust God. Do you know that? It is easier not to trust God at times. To step out in faith and to get in a place of a promise. Me and my husband have both said this year, man, sometimes it would be so easier not to be here. But I'm going to tell you that the easy road is not the right road. The easy road is not the good road. The easy road is not the road that God has laid for you in your life. Warfare patience is something that as you walk and as you put your mind and your heart and you focus on what God has said, it will develop in you and it will be a strength that God causes to have you stand. How many of you remember the story of Nehemiah? Remember, Nehemiah was given this call to go and build a wall, to go build back up the wall. And they went and they were obedient and they were building with one hand and fighting with the sword in the other. Does anybody feel like that this year? Man, you're building things, but you're also fighting things. You feel like it is definitely what God has told you to do, but it's definitely a battle. It's definitely a battle. It is where God has told you to be. It is what God is. But how can there be so much conflict and warfare where God has told you to be? Because the enemy does not want you to succeed. He knows the power when you get into agreement with what God wants to do for your family. He knows the power when you get into agreement with what God wants to do in your job. He knows the power of agreement when you get into it. So here was the encouragement that Nehemiah gave. He said, "Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The joy of the Lord is a strength to you. Your joy comes when your eyesight is on what God has told you. When you stop having joy in this moment, in this stand, what you need to know is your eyes are not on what God needs them to be on in this moment. That's my first trigger. When the enemy stops robbing my joy, starts robbing my peace, I can step back and say, all right, where are my eyes at? What am I looking at? What have I not rooted myself back into? Because the truth is, when you root yourself and you believe and you put your eyes on what God is saying to you, there is such a supernatural joy. There is such a supernatural strength. There is such a supernatural peace. But you've got to fight to keep your eyes where God has told your eyes to be. You got to fight to keep your eyes in that joy because it is a strength to you. And the truth is, the enemy will come in and he will cause situations to where you look crazy. I've had a whole lot of seasons this year to where I've looked crazy. And I think back to David. I want you to think of David's promise and David's purpose. David found himself in his life running from the kingdom. I remember that. Running from Saul with Goliath's sword in his hand. With the sword of the enemy in his hand, running from where God told him he would be. David was in a perfect alignment with God's will, doing what God had told him to do, regardless of what it looked like to everybody else. You've got to know what God is telling you to do. It is enough, no matter if it looks completely like a different story. That's why the Word of God is so important in your life every day. Every day, you've got to know some days God might tell you, pick up Goliath's sword. Really, God? Yes. Seriously, God? Yes. When God tells you to do something spiritually, you do it spiritually regardless of what it looks like to everybody else. You obey the steps that God tells you to obey. And then when God puts you there, you stand there and you say, God put me here and I'm not moving. Because we see David's life went another 10 years of God perfecting it patiently. Another 10 years. Now I'm going to tell you, I tell God all this time, time will not be my God. But 10 years is a long time. Time, but I'm telling you, the older I get, my gosh, I have been believing for some things in my life that I'm just now seeing come into fruition. As you get older, time really goes faster. And as you mature in God, you realize there is a lot more that is going on with what God is doing in you than you could ever do on your own. Warfare patience makes this statement. I will beat the devil at his game. I will successfully do what God has called me to do. No matter the cost, no matter the time. No matter the cost, no matter the time. I'm going to do and stand where God told me to do and stand. Now think back to Daniel. Daniel got put to test because God was doing things in Daniel's life and he was using Daniel. But Daniel's cost ended up in a lion's den. I've put myself in that situation time and time again. I always think like, I would be, God, I know you will deliver me. I know you would never let me get in that lion's den. Think about that. And there was processes and steps all the way up to that lion's den. There were places of Daniel praying and believing all the way up to that lion's den. And Daniel kept on, I believe that Daniel did not really truthfully believe that in that lion's den was somewhere that God was going to have him to stand in patience. But I'm going to tell you, Daniel surrendered his will to God. He said, not my will, even if it's in that lion's den, your will. Not my will, even if I have to face down a lion, and I know you'll be with me. I know you'll be with me. I will stand in the enemy's camp wherever you tell me to stand because you will be with me. Now you have to come back and look at the reason God would allow that in Daniel's life. Because while Daniel was standing with a heavy load in a dark place with just patience and faith working hand in hand together. Because that's what they do. Faith, we believe what God says. But patience allows the timing of God to work it out in our life. It allows what God wants to do for him to do in our life. So Daniel was in that lion's den saying, God, I know this is where you told me to stand. Amazingly, I know this is where. But while Daniel was there, see, God knew that there would be a king that would be on his knees crying out to God that had never cried out to God before, that would get up out of that floor. And if he saw Daniel come out of that lion's den, that king would say, there is a God in Israel. There is a God in Israel. Daniel loved that king. Daniel cared enough about God working in his life to get in that lion's den. And God loved Daniel enough to be able to create into him such a warfare patience that God could trust and use Daniel. And there's people all the time, I want God to use me. I want God to do great things through me. I want God to be able to come into my life and to see great impact. That is a wonderful thing to want. But you've got to understand what comes with that. What comes with that sometimes is a lion's den. What comes with that sometimes is a lot of suffering. What comes with that sometimes is fighting off every form of fear and discomfort that you could ever imagine knowing that God is going to bring you through. God's word to you will come to you this year. And when it comes to you, it will anchor your soul. It will anchor you to what God is wanting to do. Because if God can't anchor you to what God's wanting to do, I can assure you that this year the enemy is going to use situations to cause you to get out of God's will. To cause you to get out of God's timing. If you look at Exodus 15, where the children of Israel, you know, I love them. How many of you ever read those stories and you're like, I cannot believe they did that again? Do y'all ever do that? I cannot believe they did that again. But I'm going to tell you the truth. I have done it again. And I've done it again. And I've done it again. But what I want God to begin to do is to show me what he's wanting to do in me so I stop doing it again. So I stop failing. So I start... This is what God told me one time. He said, you are passing way too many of the wrong tests, my honey. You're passing way too many of the enemy's tests. He's laying them there for you, and you are passing right through with flying colors. The enemy will cause your life to be set up to where God wants to grow you, but the enemy wants to receive you and to keep you walking in the same problems with the same hurts in the same areas when God is giving us the option to grow over it. To grow over it. When the children of Israel, they had just walked through the parting of the Red Sea. That was a miraculous thing. I would love to see that. That was a miraculous thing. So they come away from that praising God, dancing, worshiping God. They were amazed. See, they were like a lot of us can be. They could praise God after the fact. But man, before the pact, they didn't have enough patience and endurance to praise God through it. To praise God through it. And what's really sad is they never made it to the promise. They never made it. The only person that can stop God from being faithful to you is you. You are the only one that can take what He has told you and put it in a place where you are not standing on it. You're putting it aside. You are the only one that can stop God from flowing through you and doing what He wants to do. And we see this time and time again. So here we see the children of Israel in Exodus 15:22. It said, Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness. And they went 3 days in the wilderness, and they found no water. So now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. So it says the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" Now, how many of you have ever read that, and you're like, "My gosh, seriously? You are weak. I could suffer that. I could suffer that." I'm telling you, it's so much easier to watch somebody else's life and to think, why can't they handle that? Why can't they get some strength? Why can't they get some grit? But let me explain to you what happens to your body when you go 3 days without water. We need to really sometimes put ourselves in other people's shoes to understand what God was asking for them. What God was really doing in them. It says a person cannot live on air and sunshine alone. The human body needs food and water to survive. A human can go more than 3 weeks without food, but water is a different story. At least 60% of the adult body is made of it. Every living cell in the body needs it to keep on functioning. Water acts as a lubricant for our joints. It regulates our body temperatures through sweating and respiration. It helps us to flush waste. The maximum amount of time a person could ever go without water seems to be a week, but this estimate would certainly be shorter in difficult conditions, like outside in the heat. This week limit is based on a person who at the end of their lives is connected and being fed internally and all of that is cut off. At that moment, the longest somebody has ever lived has been a week. However, 1 week is a generous estimate. The truth is, a more typical answer would be 3, at the most 4 days. You can go 100 hours without drinking water at an average temperature outdoors. The things that water do for you is they form saliva, they keep your joints moving, they allow you to sweat. The dangers of dehydration. Our bodies are constantly losing water, which is why drinking water once a day is not enough to keep us replenished. We lose water when we sweat, when we go to the bathroom, even when you breathe, you exhale, you lose water. Under extreme conditions, an adult can lose 1.5 liters of sweat in an hour in a situation like that. If that water lost is not replaced, the total volume of body fluid can fall quickly and very dangerously, resulting in death. They were not just thirsty. They were not just in a moment in a battle and they were, "Oh God, I'm parched." Oh. They were dehydrated. They were suffering. And if God didn't show up and do something, if He didn't have a miracle on hand, they would die. They would not outlive the situation they had been placed in without God being faithful to them. How many of you in this room right here have been in a situation that you would not have survived the place that God told you to stand without God showing up and doing a miracle? God knows this test. God walked them into that test. God walked you through that test. But here's what God wants us to learn in that test. You can stand there. You can stand there because God will not be faithful. God will not see you through. They were in a painful process. Their bodies were burdened down with a heavy, every movement hurt. They didn't have lubrication in their joints. Every step hurt. Every breath hurt. Every part of that season hurt for them. And then after 3 days, they see water. And they get excited. This is God. This is God. This is God. This is God. And they run up to this water. And the water's bitter. How many of you have ever been in a moment and you thought that was the answer that God had laid for you? And when you make it to that moment, that's not the answer. And the enemy comes in and he disheartens you. And he causes you to take a step back and say, oh my gosh, did I hear God? Am I where God told me to be? Am I doing what God told me to do? And it started to cause fear. And it started to cause disheartenment. And they started removing themselves from what God had told them. Church, this year God has told you some things. God has told you some beautiful, some wonderful, some incredible things. And it's going to be a miracle for you to do it. It's going to only be God for you to stand there and to see it done. But God's promise to you is you stay in patience. You fight the fight of patience. You fight the lies of the enemy. You stop the fight the plans of the enemy. You stop the eyesight from going in the enemy's direction. And you let God speak His word. You let Him speak His promise. Because let me tell you something. God turned that bitter water sweet. God turned that bitter water sweet. But I'm going to tell you the truth. God has came into my life and He has rescued me. But He wanted to do a miracle for me. God wanted me to learn how to become a warfare patient child of God. That I could stand and there could be a miracle right around the corner. That's what God wanted from me. God will always rescue you. God will always swoop down with these loving hands and He will rescue you. But God wants to use you. God wants to use you. God wants you to be the one that will step out and believe no matter what everybody else sees. Because if we look at this book, chapter right here, if we go on and see how God said, man, I was testing you. I was testing you. It says, then they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. So they camped there by the water. 4 days into that wilderness, God had water. 4 days, God had water. God had somebody come long time ago and dig up these wells because He knew His kids one day were going to walk along a path and He was going to create an environment where they could trust and they would make it to that season, and the miracle was more than they could even need. It was an abundant miracle. It was a supernatural miracle. But the truth is, so many of us fail the test. We say, God, I can't take this. This is too much. This is too much. I can't take this. That's why it says in Hebrews, we need patience. Because after you have done what God told you to do, after you have stood there, after you have been found faithful, you will receive the promise. You will receive it. God will bring it to you and He will lay it at your feet and you will be rewarded for your stand in patience. But if you don't let God this year work into your spirit such a strong devotion, such a strong stand of I am not my own will, I am God's. I am God's child, His timing, His will. You're going to continue walking through life. And you're going to continue being like the children of Israel, being tested and failing, and being tested and failing, and being tested and failing. And God will swoop up every time. God will hug you, and He will love you, and He will encourage you. But God wants to use you. God wants to use you. God wants to do things for your life that only He positions you there to do through you. God does not want a Saul. God wants a David. Stand up this morning if you say, I'm going to be a David in my battle. I'm going to be a David in my season. I'm going to let God create inside of me a supernatural, warlike patience. Because we need it, God. Father, we come right now, Lord, we need patience. We need endurance. We need what we can do inside of us, only what you can do in us. Leah's going to play a song. And I want you to take these last 5 minutes. And I want you to come into agreement with what the Word of God says. It says, let patience have its work. Let it end this morning. Let timing go. Let cost go. Let your plans go. Let even your suffering go. Say, God, I let patience. I let endurance. I let your promise come into me in such a way that it is a secure rock that I stand on no matter what comes against me. I want you to let God do a work, and then we're going to agree in prayer together. If you believe God is calling you to patience, lift your hands this morning and begin to ask Him. Ask Him to show you what He's wanting to build in you. Come into agreement with His eyesight in your season.
Even when my eyes can't see, there's mountain woods in front of me. We'll be thrown into the midst of the sea. Through it all, my eyes are on
you. Father, we put our eyes on you this morning. This morning, Lord, we come into agreement with not what we see in the natural, not what we hear in the natural, not what we know in the natural. I want you to say, God, I come in agreement with the supernatural work you are doing in my life. Lord, allow this season to perfect in me. Lord, allow me to be strengthened in an area where time cannot be a defense the enemy uses against me anymore. Father, I thank you right now that you are causing great faith. Not little faith, not small faith, great faith. Faith that moves mountains. And that you're speaking to me in a way that I know it don't matter how long, you're going to be faithful. It does not matter the time. That's in your hands. That's in your hands. And Father, what I trust is, I trust your time is doing something that is perfect, that is original, that is only God, that is beyond what I could ever do. Father, right now, Lord, I release my will to you. I release my will. I release my control. I release my bondage. I release my fear. I release it right now. I release it to you supernaturally. And I come into a stand in patience. Say that with me. I come into a stand in patience. I will not move. I will not look away. I will be the one you can use in my life and others' lives. I will be the one that will pass this test. I will pass this test. I will make it to the springs that you have already dug for me. I will make it. Father, right now, Lord, I ask you, show them the springs. Show them what's right around the corner. Father, show them in their spirit what you have right ahead of this season. Show them what you already prepared. Show them what you've already brought out and set for them and said, you're almost there. want you to praise your way out into today.
Yeah.